Hello, I'm Michaela Maguire, Artistic Director of Melbourne Writers Festival. You're listening to a conversation from our 2021 podcast series, which is supported by the Copyright Agency's Cultural Fund.
Hello, my name is Elizabeth McCarthy. I'm a producer and presenter on 3RRFM in Melbourne, and I'm a literary critic and book reviewer on Triple R and ABC Radio Melbourne. It's a pleasure to be part of this podcast for the Melbourne Writers Festival. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which I'm located today. It is Wurundjeri land, and I pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people listening. Today I'm interviewing two authors for Melbourne Writers Festival, and let me tell you a bit about them. Laura Elizabeth Woollett is the City of Melbourne's 2020 Boyd Garrett Writer in Residence and is a 2020 to 22 Martin Bequest Scholar for Prose. She is the author of the short story collection The Love of a Bad Man, which was shortlisted for the Victorian Premier's Literary Award for Fiction and the Ned Kelly Award for Best First Fiction. Her first novel, Beautiful Revolutionary, was shortlisted for the 2019 Prime Minister's Literary Award for Fiction, the Australian Literature Society Gold Medal and the Kathleen Mitchell Award. Her latest novel, The Newcomer, is predominantly set on a Pacific island where troubled 20-something Paulina is embarking on a fresh start to recover from heartbreak. Her mother, Judy, visits Paulina on the island and encounters a daughter as suicidal and self-destructive. When Paulina is found dead, a grieving Judy examines her own life and both hers and Paulina's choices as Paulina's unravelling and last gruesome hours are pieced together. The Newcomer is a familial detective story, an examination of self-destruction, an exploration of misogyny and violence, as Judy's grief triggers her to reckon with her own past and future without her daughter. Hey Laura, thanks for being part of the conversation today.
Great to be here.
And Mark Brandy's best-selling novel, Wimmera, won the British Crime Writers Association Debut Dagger and was named Best Debut at the 2018 Australian Indie Book Awards. It was also shortlisted for the Australian Book Industry Awards Literary Fiction Book of the Year and the Matt Rochelle Award for New Writer of the Year. His second novel, The Rip, was longlisted for Best Fiction at the Indie Book Awards and the Crime Writers Association Best Fiction Award. Mark's shorter work has appeared in The Guardian, The Age, The Big Issue, and in journals both here and overseas. Mark's new novel is called The Others, and this is a story about 11-year-old Jacob and his father who live in rural isolation, separate from the rest of the world, in particular, separate from the others who live nearby. Jacob is homeschooled and keeps a diary documenting his learnings about the world, a world in which his father dominates. And he is someone who Jacob is in awe of and increasingly in fear of. There is dystopia and dread pervading the others as we wonder why Jacob's father is isolating him and what kind of world lies beyond. Hey, Mark. Thanks for being part of the conversation too.
Hi, Elizabeth. Great to be with you again.
Firstly, could you both share or each share about the triggers that spurred these new books? I'll start with you, Mark.
I guess it's kind of weird when you're talking about what motivated you, or at least for me, what motivated me to write a book, because I always, when I start, I don't really know. It's all about voice and that's where I begin. But it's more in hindsight, I guess, that I look back, particularly when I have to go out and do publicity for my books and I think about, you know, what actually led me to write this. And in a really practical way, it was a short story that I wrote, I think back in 2016, that was published in Mianjin. And that was a fictionalized account of some real events from my youth, growing up in Western Victoria, because we had a farm outside of town and we had a sheep on the farm. And because we had sheep, we had issues with vermin like foxes, rabbits, etc. And we used to go out there and do a bit of hunting, which I kind of had mixed feelings about as a kid. But I sort of understood as well that we needed to protect our stock. And my dad used to set these, you remember those kind of steel-jawed traps they used to have, I think, in the 80s. And my dad used to set those traps out on the farm. And one time he went out there and he came back and came to the house and said, you know, Mark, come out to the car. I've got something to show you. And he had this like little bundle in the back, and it was a fox. It was a fox that he'd caught in the trap. And he took it inside and, like, tended to its wounds. And, like, I was really confused as a kid, you know, because I was thinking, here's something we kind of tried to kill, but now we're looking after it more or less as a pet, and we kept it in an enclosure in the backyard. And I think that was kind of, you know, one of the first insights I had into some of the complexities and contradictions of parenthood. And I think that's what really drove me to write about that in the first instance. And that's where the others began.
Wow, fascinating. How about you, Laura, in terms of what triggered this particular book, this new novel?
Yeah, I think with every book it's always a combination of a lot of things at the right time. For me, one part of what actually inspired it was I finished my previous novel, Beautiful Revolutionary, when I was about 27, and it took a long time to really feel like writing again. And during that time, I was kind of having a bit of a late 20s crisis and feeling a bit like, who am I? What have I spent, you know, the past few years doing? What has it all been for? And not really knowing if I would ever write another book again, and having a lot of confusion about that. And I think a lot of the confusion of that time was necessary to develop the character of Paulina, who's kind of at a similar stage in her life, navigating her late 20s. But during that time, I traveled to Norfolk Island, which was a place I'd been interested in for a while. And I had the idea of a different novel in mind. But when I was there, I really felt like I really want to write about this location, and really just felt really inspired by the place while I was there, but not knowing what the story would be exactly. And I was aware that there had been a murder on Norfolk Island back in 2002, the murder of Janelle Patton. And I kind of like visited the location where her body was found and was quite affected by that. But then the day that I returned to Melbourne, the murder of Eurydice Dixon was in the news. So these kinds of, I guess, stories of victimhood and the conversations going on around them sort of collided at this time. And, yeah, I began to feel more and more like writing a victim-focused crime novel. But I really wanted the victim to be the driving force of the story, and also to put all those feelings that I was having in my late 20s into this character.
Your protagonist is the driving force. Like, she's so got so much energy and never stops. We'll get onto that in a tick. But I did want to just ask you, you know, you both cover terrain that explores how and why people hurt and damage each other. This is very central to the books that you two write. Could you tell us about why you find that territory so alluring as something to grapple with? Laura, I'll start with you first.
I mean, it's really about relationships when you get down to it. No relationship is perfect. Nobody understands each other perfectly. And I think we all have our own motivations, which are often selfish. And even if we don't consider them selfish, there can be, you know, ways in which we want to control each other that we don't realize. The central relationship of the newcomer really, I think, is the relationship between Paulina and her mother, Judy. And it's such a loving relationship, but it's also a very codependent one. And there's a lot of push-pull going on between the two characters. It's not to do with an absence of love, but, you know, it's often an absence of boundaries, I think. And that's always really interesting to explore.
Mark, how about you? Why do you like exploring this sort of space where people hurt and damage each other?
Yeah.
And I don't really mean like. That's probably the wrong word to use.
why am I drawn to it, I suppose? Yeah, you know, like when I think about, and I sometimes think that authors, we're not the best scholars of our own work or analysts of our own work, but when I look across the three books, I think, and particularly the others, each is dealing with trauma in different forms. So I think particularly in Wimmera, we saw that with Ben and Fab. And then in The Rip 2 with Danny, her past is kind of more obscure perhaps than in Wimmer and the others, but each is dealing with the way that people respond to trauma, and sometimes, and I think a little bit like Laura was alluding to, that isn't deliberate. People aren't setting out always to harm people. I think the father in the others, in his relationship with Jacob, is like, it's a misguided form of love. He loves Jacob and cares for him, but there are other issues at play and other issues with his psychology at play. I think what's kind of interesting about that for me is the way that then manifests or not in adulthood. You know, if I think kind of deeper about what inspired me to write The Others, part of it definitely was the relationship that my father had with his father, so my paternal grandfather. And just to give a bit of context, my dad grew up in kind of the shadows of the Second World War in Italy, this very remote location, in a stone house, no running water, no electricity. He was the second eldest of seven kids. And his father, my grandfather, was an extremely violent man, beat his wife, beat the kids, alcoholic, womanizer. My dad had an incredibly difficult relationship with him right through to adulthood. And I suppose in looking at my dad's relationship with his father, I know that my dad was always determined to kind of not repeat those sins in a way in terms of how he raised us. And I think sometimes there's a inclination to think that, you know, traumatic events kind of set us on a path in our youth and there's no escaping that. I think that that's, of course, far more complex and there's a lot of factors at play. And I wanted to tease that out, I think, in The Others and with Jacob and in how he responds to the world around him and how he kind of comes into his own as a person in his sense of like what's right and wrong really ultimately, which is put to the test.
Because in your novel, Mark, you're really exploring how a child comes into their own, and in Laura's you're really exploring how a mother comes into her own. Yeah, and I found the relationship between Judy and Paulina incredibly difficult to read. You know, mother-daughter relationships that aren't particularly great are often incredibly difficult to read and or experience. It actually reminded me a little bit, Laura, of Alice Pung's most recent novel, 100 Days, and that mother-daughter relationship where there's actually psychological abuse going on. And, you know, so how do you write a daughter such as Paulina, who is incredibly unkind to her mother and, you know, sporadically abusive?
I don't know what this says about my relationship with my mother, but it came quite naturally. I think Paulina, she does love her mother, but she also depends on her and she kind of hates that dependence and wants her own independence from Judy and expresses that through rage and through treating her mother really badly, sometimes swearing at her. Calling her horrible names and stuff. That's all kind of Paulina sort of wanting the independence that she doesn't have. You know, the fact that she doesn't have as much independence as she likes, you know, part of that is because of her mental health issues and her addiction. Mm-hmm. And her mother is, you know, really just trying to nurture her and do the best thing for her most of the time. But I think there is a resistance there, and I think Paulina very much, you know, does want to carve her own way and make her own mistakes. So I think her mother's interference can, you know, lead to this quite nasty behaviour. But at the same time, like, she obviously does really need Judy and loves her. So, yeah, I think this, like, the setting of boundaries and the messiness of that really came through with this character. And yeah, I mean, I think Judy and Paulina are very much opposites in a lot of ways, and they were raised in completely different ways. And Judy is, I think, very much like Mark was suggesting earlier, she's trying to correct her own parents' mistakes in the way that she's raising Paulina. And that means perhaps you know, not setting some boundaries that should be there. Yeah, but I think when I started writing them, you know, you put these two characters in the room together and they just start talking to each other and you get into the flow of it.
You are exploring, though, the phenomenon that sometimes happens with grief when you lose someone very close to you, how it can actually liberate you. And I feel that's what happened to Judy with the death of her daughter, is that she's somewhat liberated. You know, is that what you wanted to sort of explore with Judy? Because it really is her novel, her story, isn't it, that sort of prevails at the end?
Yeah, I very much, I was interested in the idea of somebody growing, like, later in life.
Yeah.
I think we have so many stories where it's just, like, someone in their 20s growing and you're just expected to have it all set out and figured out by then, but people grow throughout their lives. So I was really interested in exploring an older woman kind of coming into her own. And yeah, I think, you know, Judy has her whole adult life really been a mother and identified as a mother, and that has been the center of her identity and her world. So she really has to figure out who she is once Paulina is gone, because there's this massive void in the middle of her life. And yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing to me that, like, I think at the beginning of the novel she's actually less happy than she is at the end, and I didn't necessarily know that I would get to that place, but yeah, it was part of the character's growth, really.
Your character's growth, Mark, I'm interested if you could talk about Jacob, because Jacob is enthralled by his father, but there is a point where he starts questioning and waking up, and it's more of a psychological thing that happens with Jacob. It's not like he's articulating the way he's feeling. So how did you scope that out and work out what you wanted to explore with the sort of the detaching of Jacob from his father?
It's probably worth saying from the outset in answering that question that I found it an extremely draining experience to write from that point of view, and kind of, you know, part of the, I guess, attraction to writing that a child's point of view is that tension that's there between, I suppose, what we might see as an adult reader about what's going on in this environment, what's the father doing, how does Jacob interpret that, and is his interpretation correct? Now, of course, Jacob early on has, you know, complete faith in his father and what his father's telling him about the world. Over time, through the narrative, there's things that occur that I suppose start to cast doubt, and without any spoilers, of course, but cast doubt on what his father's account is of what's happening, which is, in a broad sense, that there's been this plague that's occurred and they're isolated on this property for a reason, and that the others who exist beyond the boundaries of the property are dangerous and harmful to them. I suppose, you know, it's really at that kind of magical age, I guess, around 11, where, you know, reflecting on my own past, that you kind of come into your own, I think, as a person. And, you know, we're very reliant as children on what our parents tell us, and, you know, our understanding of the world is kind of mediated through our parents. But and probably in this book I've, you know, ramped that up to a factor of 10, because I've placed them in this very isolated environment. What we see, though, is Jacob really, I guess, coming into his own as a person. Part of that is through his relationships with animals, who are his only other kind of sentient contact that he has. And he loves these animals and cares for them. So we start to see this aspect to his nature, which comes into conflict with his father's nature, which can be quite brutal at times, but also is, I suppose, pragmatic and realistic about their world. You know, writing that and trying to give, I suppose, a compelling picture of Jacob's change in understanding and his growth as a person was a real challenge, because you're there's always the temptation, I think, when you're writing that young person's point of view, for them to be precocious and start to, you know, perhaps use language that is beyond their years or develop understandings which are beyond their years. And that's something I really had to resist, but still give enough of a sense that Jacob's starting to wonder about what's going on. And I think that a lot of that really manifested in subtext, so that the kind of illustrations that Jacob would use, the definitions that he would seek out in the dictionary and encyclopedia, all of those things give a hint to the reader that, hang on, he's starting to realize that something else is going on. He can't fully articulate that, but it's manifesting in a different way. And I think that kids, you know, in all environments are like sponges, and when they're in really difficult environments, so, you know, adults can sometimes assume they don't know what's going on, but more often than not, they do. They may not be able to explain it clearly in an adult sense, but they know when they can sense when something's going awry.
Mark, the world that you've created in this novel, you've opted for like a slow burn with the tension and the telling of this new story, and I'm hoping you could talk about like the choices in pace and tone to sort of methodically build the tension and menace in this novel, because obviously pace and tone of crime narratives and thrillers is incredibly significant in how tension plays out. So could you talk a bit about that artistic choice to do the slow burn with this novel?
I always tend to write things that I like to read, and I like kind of an author who places a little bit of trust in the reader, that they'll stay with it, that they'll, you know, have some faith that things will be explained to some degree. And I wanted to make that as realistic as possible. I suppose in the broader sense, you're right, like there are certain norms to particularly the crime genre, but even literary crime, where there's plot perhaps driving the narrative more than character driving the narrative. And I guess I resist that to a degree. And I think confidence and belief in my readers that they'll stay with me for the journey without it necessarily being a kind of blinding page turner with a cliffhanger at the end of each chapter. I think in part that was influenced by this particular story in particular was influenced by The Road by Cormac McCarthy, with that father and son dynamic, you know, a post-apocalyptic, supposedly post-apocalyptic world, in the case of the others, and also quite a slow build in that case too. Obviously, it's a very different relationship there between the father and son, because the father is a much more nurturing character, cares for his son. The father in The Others cares for his son too, but it's in a far more perhaps misguided fashion. So I think that those aspects, you know, those influences definitely played a part in the writing of this story. I kind of, you know, I was nervous about handing it over to my agent and my publisher, because I thought, oh man, you know, like I deviated a little bit from kind of traditional crime in writing The Rip, and then when it came to The Others, it's a further deviation, and it's a bit strange and a bit kooky, and I just didn't know whether or not they'd be happy with it and where I was heading and where they were marketing me as a brand, you know, because that becomes part of it. Like you kind of, you occupy a particular space in the literary world, and if you're, I wouldn't say I'm like overtly pushing against that, but you want to write the things that interest you and the stories that interest you, and that's really what drives me. I mean, if I get to a point where I feel like I'm just fulfilling a contractual obligation, there's better paying jobs that are kind of less stressful.
Are you trying to say you don't want to do be a formula guy, Mark?
No, that's right. Yeah, I really, it terrifies me, the thought that, you know, I'd have to push out a book every year, or like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Yeah, you've got to really care about your character, or for me at least, I've really got to care about my characters and the story, and that's the most important thing.
The pace of Mark's novel is a real contrast to yours, Laura. In your novel, the pace is fast, as you mentioned earlier. The pace sort of is mirrored in the way Paulina moves through the world. She runs from one dangerous situation to another, which is sort of in keeping with the kind of action that is constantly happening in your novel, which leaves sort of me thinking, what's going to happen next? Is this constant sort of pace? Could you talk about making that choice? Because you have set it on this kind of sleepy island as well.
Kind of the opposite of Mark. My earlier novel was, I guess, crime adjacent. You know, it was dealing with a cult, the Jonestown cult, but yeah, that was much more of a slow burn, whereas this one I was really trying to take the pacing of a conventional crime novel, but to do something different with it and to have it really not just being about the, you know, who did it, but kind of I wanted to sort of maybe trick some readers from the outset that that's what it is about and then draw them into this journey, which is really much more about the characters instead. But I think the pacing came really naturally as soon as I started writing Paulina. I was working on the first chapter is from Judy's perspective, and I was working on that for a long time. And then I just started writing Paulina, and it happened really quickly, and suddenly I knew who she was, and it felt really natural to write the story in that way. It's much more dialogue heavy than my previous work, and I think that has a lot to do with who Paulina is as a person. I think she is an intelligent person, but she's not someone who likes spending time in her own head. And I think she's somebody who even feels like spending time in her own head is threatening. So she's moving through the world quickly. She's talking, she's doing things. And so this story really followed her and unfolded with her once I had figured out really who she was. But yeah, it's a multi-perspective novel, mostly Judy's perspective and Paulina's, but I do have other characters from their world. I think every third or fourth chapter I go into someone else's head for a while, and I think a lot of that just comes from me getting bored easily if I have to stick with the same perspective for too long. And I think, you know, if the story had only been told from Paulina's perspective, it wouldn't have shown really the breadth of the world that she inhabits. And same with Judy, you know, like I needed to have all these different people and their perspectives of each other informing the story.
And to what extent, it is a work of fiction, but to what extent has it been inspired by Norfolk Island and events there? And I mean, because you don't call it Norfolk Island, of course. Mm-hmm. So yeah, could you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, I decided to call it Fairfolk Island, so it sounds very similar to Norfolk Island, and that was sort of my way of paying tribute to the real place and saying from the outset, like, yeah, you know, it looks like Norfolk, but it's slightly different. But it was, compared with my previous work, which was very much historical fiction, and I was, you know, going into archives, I was interviewing people, I was really trying to figure out the truth of what happened with my novel Beautiful Revolutionary. But with this, I was much more just using real events as a jumping off point and then letting the characters take me in a different direction. So Janelle Padden was murdered on Norfolk Island on the Easter weekend in 2002. Her parents were on the island at the time she was murdered, visiting her. And I think, you know, that set up, I was definitely inspired by that, and, you know, from both characters' perspectives, having a parent on the island and having not seen them for a long time, that coming together for it to end that way. So I did take inspiration from that real case, and I was inspired by the character of the real life Janelle Padden to some extent. Paulina does share some qualities with her. She's about the same age. They both have worked in finance and, you know, left that world to live on an island. And they both had, you know, quite tumultuous relationships. But the details of those relationships all the men who Paulina has relationships with, her friends on the island, they're all fictional characters. So it was much more kind of seeing where the characters took me and going with that. Okay.
And what about you, Mark? Does sort of news stories and the like infiltrate your work at all? Because I've interviewed you a few times and you have talked about your family's history infiltrating your novels. But have you drawn from any sort of headline news or anything like that when you've created your novels?
I suppose I am, you know, a bit of a sponge when it comes to dark stories in the press, crime stories. I'll read court transcripts. I just find it endlessly fascinating, even apart from my professional background and those of my family who all worked mostly in law enforcement, and my partner who works in the courts as well. I just think that, you know, when people are put to the test in extreme circumstances is when you really learn the most about them, and when we learn the most about ourselves, really. Because when things are kind of sailing along pretty well and life is good and there aren't too many bumps in the road, we can all be fairly easygoing. But I think that when things get a bit tough is when you see people's character shine through. And that's what I think attracts me about those darker aspects to humanity. And, you know, in thinking of when I read the Newcomer, you know, I feel like I've got PTSD from when I wrote Wimmera, because like people in the town where I grew up read it and were, of course, looking to see whether or not the characters were like any characters that they knew, because I set it in this real place. And actually, you know, I had an event, I remember, scheduled at a local library there that had to get cancelled because they had threats for people to show up. And I don't know if it was like threats of violence or what had occurred. So people can really, you know, read things into your fictional text that you might not have ever imagined, even though they're completely fictional characters. So it's always, you know, like when I read The Newcomer and I thought about, because I remember that story of Janelle and Norfolk Island, and it's always, I think it's a really brave thing to write about that sort of stuff, even a fictionalized account. And you're giving it a different side to a story, you know, there's such a luxury afforded to us in the novel form. We can go deep into the psychology of characters. We can tease things out, imagined or otherwise, that are far deeper than other art forms, certainly far deeper than media reports about certain incidents. So I think it's always just a fascinating area, and it's always going to be, I think crime's always going to attract me as an author, whether or not it's based on specific events or just in a general sense.
You've each got a few books under your belt now, and I'm wondering if these novels and stories get easier to write, or if you struggle just as much as you always have.
Yeah, I mean, I find it hard, and I've been thinking about it a lot because I feel like, you know, you want to keep mixing it up and you don't want to get bored, so you do want to do something slightly different every time. So you can't, you know, unless you are one of those writers who has a formula and you know it and you love it, you're always growing and changing and presenting yourself with new challenges with each book. So I don't really feel like it's gotten easier. I think some things I've acquired new skills, but then it's like, oh, I have to do this different thing now. Yeah, but I think as well, like having a period between two books where I didn't write for a while, I was like agonizing over that when that happened, because I was like expecting to jump from one project to the next seamlessly. But I think I have gotten the understanding as I've gotten older, like I can take it a bit slower.
So, Mark, like where are you going next with your next book?
Yeah.
How's that shaping up?
I think each book gets harder and harder. I think it gets tougher and tougher each time. I haven't found it easier. I think that The Rip came out quite quickly for me when I wrote that. The Others was a very difficult process to write and took me a long time and a lot of hours to get it into a form I was happy with. I suppose I feel a little less, I don't want to say, I almost want to say less driven, but I kind of am less driven in some ways than what I was previously, because I think at the start, before my first book came out, you're kind of thinking, oh God, I hope I can get this book published. I hope people will read it. I hope people might, you know, find something in this story that is of meaning to them. It's like there's a lot riding on it, and I felt really determined, I think, when I reflect on that period of in my life. Now I think I'm a little bit more patient, I suppose, and not unlike what Laura was saying, you know, I feel like I can give myself more time. There isn't this burning need to get another book out quickly before my readers just lose interest in me entirely. Like there's kind of this fear that, like, if you're not putting something out, you're going to no longer be relevant. No one's going to want to read your stuff. And it's a really dangerous way to think. And I don't want to be, and I guess it comes back to my earlier answer, I don't want to be just writing stuff just for the sake of putting another book out. Like I want to be hopefully saying something new and something that I'm interested in. Mm. I think this is a really long way of me not answering your question about what I'm working on now.
No, that's totally fine. But I'm getting the vibe that it's very important to you both that you actually enjoy writing and you're not just fulfilling a contract of, you know, of genre literature, which can, you know, must be really hard for, I think, a lot of writers who have those contracts where, you know, you have to do a book a year because otherwise your readers, if you're talking about commercial fiction, your readers will move on, they'll forget about you and that sort of stuff. Hey, it's been fantastic talking to you both today. Thanks so much. Yeah, my name's Elizabeth McCarthy and I've been talking to Laura Elizabeth Woollett about her brand new novel, The Newcomer, as well as Mark Brandy about his brand new novel, The Others. Thanks, gang.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. To support Melbourne Writers Festival, you can make a donation of any size at mwf.com.au.